Kelly Loki is a huge part of the youth ministry here at McDermott Road. He's been a great chaperone for us, gone on both of our mission trips already this summer, and just summer after summer finds ways to serve the students here. And we're incredibly appreciative of Kelly, and so we wanted to be in here tonight. Kelly teaches high school at Frisco Independence in the math department. He also spent 11 years in youth ministry at Waterview, and just has a really great heart for the word and a great heart for blessing others. There are so many times on our trips and things where I've had the thought, hey, I should go do this, and I've looked over there and Kelly is already doing it without anybody asking him. So we have nothing but great things to say about Kelly, and I'm looking forward to his message tonight. So thanks.
Happy Wednesday to everyone. It is great to be able to pause in the middle of the week and spend some time fellowshipping and being spiritually fed and getting enough encouragement to make it through the rest of the week. And you know, I wanted to thank Wes and the elders for giving several of us the opportunity this summer to speak during our summer Wednesday night series. And thank you. It's just great to get to be here. I know as a teacher, they usually give me 32 students and give me 90 minutes to teach a math lesson, and then tell you the students will only listen for about 10 minutes, then they'll cut you off. And so you got the rest of the time in there to try to fill. But I know I had as Matt was saying, I had the wonderful opportunity this summer to be a chaperone on the South Texas mission trip and joined with 74 others or so and helping families down in the valley. And I was able to go to Bowles Home with the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and to help encourage the families and staff at Bowles Home. We had around 45, I think, young people on that trip. And I know you'll hear more about those, how wonderful those trips were later in the summer whenever the students get up and get to tell you about those. But it is great to see our young people grow in their faith and grow closer to God. It's wonderful to see the young ones up here singing tonight. I've enjoyed this summer, and I've enjoyed the past several summers getting to know and serve with several others on the mission trips. It's great to get to know the other parents, the other families, and friends and that have a heart to serve and a desire to see our children grow closer to God. I know Matt and Zach and Kyle and the four interns this summer have done a wonderful job working and teaching. Whenever you see them, make sure you show their appreciation to them and their families for the hard work they've put in this summer. I know this summer we've been talking about responding to God. And tonight I want to talk just a few minutes and get you thinking about responding to sharing God. One of the great parts about being a chaperone on the mission trip is you get to join in with them and sing at the devotionals. And you can ask anyone that went to the South Texas mission trip, when you have, when you sit in a room with 75 others, turn out the lights, and you just sing. And no song books, no just coming from the heart, just singing the songs. You know, it's you know, I've always loved to sing. It's wonderful to hear them sing praises to God. I've always loved to sing the VBS songs, the Vacation Bible School songs and the youth group songs. I know the VBS songs are usually very simple, but they have a very powerful message. And there's two songs that kind of came to mind when I was thinking about the lesson tonight, about sharing God. And the first one is one of my favorite Vacation Bible School songs. I think I've probably been singing it for over 45 years or so. I don't know how long it goes, but it's one of my favorites, but it's This Little Light of Mine. Pretty sure that most of y'all know it, so I'm going to get your light up. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah, won't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine, won't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine, won't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah. Shine all around my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all around my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all around my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah. Probably like many of you, I remember singing that song at lots of vacation Bible schools and lots of mission trips with kids, and afterwards I'd always ask the little ones, how do you let your light shine? What does that mean to let your light shine? And, you know, and tonight, just to get started, I wanted us to think about those lyrics just getting started. First of all, do we let our light shine everywhere we go? Do we let Jesus shine and work through us? When life gets tough and the storms come, do we let him shine? How often do we let the lies of Satan blow out our light? How often do we hide Jesus from some of the people in our lives and only let them shine whenever it's convenient? Or maybe it's on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Do we let our light shine to everyone? Do we share God everywhere we go? You know, all those questions, those are things that I think about every time I sing now, and I sing this a lot of mine, thinking about, you know, see the little kids, but am I letting my light shine? You know, there's another old song, and I'm not going to sing this song. It's one we used to grow up singing around the campfire and singing around the camp. It's It Only Takes a Spark. Or some of you may know it as Pass It On. How many of y'all know that song? Just remember that. I say I didn't know, the high school probably didn't sing that as much anymore. But there's an old song we used to sing all the time. And in that song, it talks about once you've experienced God's love, you want to pass it on. It says we want to shout it from the mountaintops, and we want the world to know just how great and how awesome God's love is. You know, a question I want you to think about tonight is, are you passing on God's love to everyone around you? Are you sharing God with the people around you? I'm going to be asking a lot of questions, trying to get you just thinking about some of these things tonight. You know, after Jesus had risen from the tomb, he called together 11 disciples and gave them a charge. Very familiar with it in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, Jesus sent out 11 men to change the world. He told them to go, make disciples, and teach. On that mountain, he lit a spark in those 11 men, and soon after he left, they responded and began to teach and to make disciples all over the world. And God gives us that same charge today to go. To go into all the world and make disciples and to teach. He wants us to tell others the good news. He wants us to tell others about Jesus. He wants us to show others Jesus and his love. You know, it may be with our own family. It may be in our circle of friends. It may be somebody at school. It may be somebody at work. It may be somebody across the street. It may be a stranger you see in a grocery store. It may be somebody across the country. It may be somebody across the world. But he wants us to share God everywhere we go. And, you know, I want to ask a question. I know there's a lot of people in here. I just want a couple of feedback. What keeps us from sharing God and sharing our faith? What are some things that keep us from sharing our God and sharing our faith? Give me just a couple. Fear. Say that. Shame. Worrying about what other people will think. Rejection. What else? Give me one more. Persecution, not being accepted. Not being loved. All those things, I know I started thinking about this. I said, what keeps me from sharing? What keeps me from sharing my faith? And, I wrote down, fear of the unknown. Fear of what others will think. Fear of making myself feel uncomfortable. Apathy. Or just maybe we don't think we know enough to be able to share. As a math teacher, I know it may be hard for some of you to believe, but math is not always my students' favorite subject. Sometimes I learn if I can find their why they are in my class, why they're having to take this math class, I can sometimes help them be more successful going throughout the year and help them get through my class. And so tonight I thought about some of my reasons why I should share my faith. And I wanted to share five of those with you. I just wrote down five of my own. First one says, we've already mentioned it in Matthew 28. Jesus commanded it. He said to go. And, and so I thought about, okay, this first reason. Then the second reason, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second reason is people without Christ are lost. We need to remind ourselves that the people around us that do not know Jesus are lost. I know in Mark 6:34, it tells us that Jesus landed on the shore, got off the boat, and saw a large crowd of people. It said he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Do we have compassion for those that are around us that we see every day that are lost without a shepherd? Third one, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, it says this, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, that reason I was thinking, telling others about God is a privilege. We are his ambassadors, and it should be an honor to tell others about what God has done for us. The fourth reason, 2 Timothy 1:7-9. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I love that last song about do not fear. God will be with us. He will give us the courage to make it through that fear. I know when I was in youth ministry, every several years we would do a retreat based off no fear. And letting the young people know that God's always with them, and whatever they're having to face, having to go through, knowing that God's always there, and he's going to help us get through. In John 4:31-34, the fifth one, the disciples are trying to get Jesus to eat something, and he tells them he has food they know nothing about. And he says his food is to do the will of God, the will of the one who sent me, and to finish his work. Sharing God with others is his will, and it will help us grow and feed us spiritually. I can't help, I didn't know the high school and middle school were going to be in tonight, but I can't help think about all of them that went on the mission trips this summer and what they did to try to help others They painted houses. They picked up fallen trees. They mowed. They repaired holes inside of houses. They cleaned gutters. They taught Bible classes at Vacation Bible School. They did all these things. They grew in their faith because they shared their faith. And they helped others. They encouraged others. And they grew closer to God. They were spiritually fed. And, you know, I thought, you know, there's a lot of different reasons, but those are the five that just kind of came to my mind. And I know we mentioned a few of why we don't share, and then we mentioned a few of why we should share. But what about the how? You know, how do we share? And I believe there are a lot of many different ways that we share our faith and share God with others. Tonight, I just wanted to quickly mention about two ways that we can share our faith. The first one is to live it. It's to live our faith. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Or John 13, 34, that says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, we should be examples to others around us. We should be that example. People will know we are Christians by that love. Christians are to be holy, belonging to God, set apart. We're supposed to be different. You know, I think about what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for the believers in life and speech and faith and love and purity. Be an example. Be an example. We need to be different in how we talk, how we act, how we treat each other, how we live. We need to be different in what we watch, what we listen to, how we react and respond to others. You know, people notice when you're different. Whenever I was in 10th grade, there was a moment that really stuck out to me. I was in 10th grade. I got moved up to play on the varsity football team. I got put in the varsity locker room as a 10th grader and got put in this little corner next to all these seniors, some of the foulest mouth, just disgusting seniors that were there at that time. And as I was in my little locker there, I was new in there, and they were just telling dirty stories and cussing just all the time. And one of the guys looked at me one day and he said, "You don't talk that way, do you?" And, I hadn't said anything. I didn't, I hadn't had my Bible out or anything. But it just something they noticed, they just said, "You don't talk that way." And, from then on, when guys would start talking around my locker, he would tell them to be quiet. And I know that one little moment, speaking of our summer theme moment, that one little moment made an impact on my life. And it reminded me that people notice when you're different. And people notice when you stand up and do what's right for God. Do you share God with people around you by how you live your life? Do the people we come in contact with every day see something different in our lives than what the world has to offer? Do we give them a glimpse of God by how we live our life? First way, live your faith. Second way, tell it. Live it, tell it. At some point we must communicate the message. We must communicate the gospel. 1 Peter 3, 15 through 16 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." We need to always be able to be prepared to give a reason for that hope that we have. We have a Savior who died for us. We need to tell others about what he has done in our lives, how he has changed our lives. In the Gospel of Mark, see Jesus healing a man possessed with demons, a legion, and sending him out into a herd of pigs. And that man comes up to Jesus. I'm sure he was ready. He was ready to go, ready to hop on the boat with him. And Jesus told him, he said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has shown you mercy." And I started thinking about, are we telling other people around us how much God has done for us? Are we telling him how much mercy he's shown us in our lives? I think about in John chapter 1, when Jesus is calling his disciples, he calls Andrew. And the first thing it says, when Andrew realized and sees Jesus, it says the first thing Andrew did was to go tell his brother Simon Peter, "We have found the Messiah." It says the next day, Jesus tells Philip, told Philip, he said, come follow me. It says the first thing Philip is, he went and told Nathanael and told him, "Hey, we found the one that Moses wrote about." And, when they came in contact with Jesus, they responded. They went out and told somebody else about him. Are we inviting people around us to come meet Jesus? Mark did a great job on Sunday morning Bible class reminding us about the importance of evangelism and reaching out to the lost around us. I know in my past and with many of the people that I've worked with, sometimes they find it difficult to tell somebody about their race, difficult to share somebody about their faith, and whether it's fear or that sometimes it's they're not confident in what they believe. And I know I was there. I remember walking down the hall when I was in high school. I remember walking down the hall and just thinking to myself, if somebody were to ask me why I go to church or why I believe the things I believe or why I do the things I do or act the way I act, would I be able to tell them? And that just kind of stuck with me there. I ask our young people when I teach their Bible class. I do this a lot with them, and they're going to probably recognize some of this. But I ask them, "How do you know what a Christian is? How do you know how we're supposed to act? How do you know how we're supposed to respond?" And the answer always comes back around to Bible. Bible tells me so. And, I challenge them all the time in Bible classes I teach, and I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself tonight as a reminder to get into God's Word. To get into God's Word. I know I need constant reminders. If you go to my desk in my coaching office, I have my Bible there just to remind myself I need to be reading more. I need to be studying more. In 2 Timothy 3, excuse me, started football today, and I don't have my coaching voice yet. I can't yell. Starting to go. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17, it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned, become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's Word is a living, breathing letter to us. It says it can make us wise for salvation. It points us towards heaven. Says it can teach us. It can tell us, help us know right from wrong. Says it can rebuke us. It can tell us no. It can tell us, hey, you're on the wrong path. And it can correct us. It can put us back on the right path. And it says it can train us in righteousness. It can tell us how to live, how to make it through this life and how to get through. Let me encourage you. I know it's just kind of a side note as I'm going through. Let me encourage you to continue to read, to get into God's Word. Don't just visit it, live in it to get there. Sharing God, live it and tell it. Live your faith and tell others about God. Let other people see Jesus in your life. Let them get a glimpse of God in your life and how you live. Tell others about God and what Jesus has done for you. I know many years ago at summer camp, I would ask a group of teens what they would do if they won $10 million. You know, and they all had different ideas. They'd buy everything imaginable, but at some point they would always come and they would share it. They'd go tell their friends, tell something, buy something for them, tell something about their friends. And then I would ask them, I said, what would you do if you found a cure for cancer? And, you know, and always got back to, I would tell somebody so people could get healed. And, you know, those of us who are Christians have something very special to share. We have something that's so much more valuable than money, so much something that can heal just more than our physical bodies. We have Jesus Christ to share with a world that is lost. We have eternal life to share. And I know I had a friend in college. His name was Paul. And Paul told me this story one day. He said after he was baptized, he said his mom came and told him this story when he was a little guy. And after he was baptized, his mom said, hey, Paul, what do you want more than anything else in this world? And Paul, at that time, he wanted a shiny red pickup truck. He said, I want a shiny red pickup truck more than anything. And she goes, well, what if somebody came to you and says, if you just vote with me, you just come with me, I'll give you a shiny red pickup truck. And he says, not only to me, but I'll give a shiny red pickup truck to any of your friends you tell, and they vote for me. And Paul said his mom said he went home and in his driveway was a shiny red pickup truck. And he goes, what are you going to do? And Paul says, well, I'm going to get on the phone. I'm going to call Tim, and I'm going to call Jim, and I'm going to call Bob. And he started listing all of his friends that he wanted to call and tell them about this shiny red pickup truck. And his mom stopped him right there and said, how much more important is eternal life than a shiny red pickup truck? And Paul said he got the message of how important that knowledge he had of Jesus. You know, the last verse of that song, Pass It On, or It Only Takes a Spark, says this. It says, I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop, praise God. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. And, you know, as Christians, we should be the happiest people on earth because we know that we are just passing this world. We're just, we have a better home waiting for us. And, you know, final challenge to you tonight to respond to God. Share the happiness that you found in Christ and pass it on to everyone around you. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us, and thank you for all the many blessings that you give to us in our life. Lord, we thank you for all the young people and the families that we're seeing up here, and the high school and middle school students that are in here, and all of their families. Lord, that you protect them, that you guide them, that you always give them strength and wisdom to always look to you for the answers. Lord, be with all of us in here. As we're talking about responding, help us to always respond to you. Lord, help us to always look to you for the answers. And Lord, help us to share you with everyone around us. Lord, help us to be an example. Help us to just to share you with the things that we say, with the people, with everyone that we come in contact with. Lord, help us to let our light shine for you always. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.